You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey. Me that's going to take flack from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with the under-16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Iceland.
Hi everyone, and you're very welcome to Series 2, Episode 23 of Cawley's Call. And I know we missed you last week, I'm sorry about that. Some things are out of our control and we just missed the show, but we're back obviously today, next week, and following on for the rest of the season. And we do have a bit of news on possibly a live event coming up as well, but I won't fill you in too much on that at the moment. We're looking at doing it and it will happen, we just need to sort out dates, so keep that in mind. And also, Stewie is not here with me today, unfortunately, so I don't want to give too much information away about our live event without Stewie, because he's the rock star. He'll be playing the music on the night as well. But I do have a special guest, and I'm delighted to say joining me in studio today is my son's favourite player. Yes, my son's favourite player. And I thought I was his favourite player. But my son's favourite player is Georgie Kelly, the hottest marksman in the league at the moment. Georgie, how are you?
How's things, Al?
It's good to see you.
And you, yeah. Cheers.
Coming off the back of another win. I know it was a disappointing result last week, but a good win on Monday night and another goal.
Yeah, good win on Monday night. Vital 3 points, I think, for us. As you say, coming off the back of a bad result in Drogheda. But not great win up there. It's not an easy place to go.
Especially at the moment, because the form in Finn Harp's absolutely flying.
Unbelievable, yeah. Turning all the top sides over. To go up there and get 3 points on a wet kind of Monday night, we're delighted, yeah.
Were you disappointed with, obviously, the result on Friday? I know, of course, you're disappointed when you lose every match, but the fact that you're on such a good run of form yourselves, people would have fancied you against Drogheda, and to be 3 down as well.
Yeah, some shock. As you say, we were going in on a high. We've been in good form, bouncing off the back of Europe. And then they just hit us a couple of mistakes and we're 3 down at half time, coming in not knowing what's going on.
To be fair, the draw did turn things around as well in the last couple of weeks, and they're a decent side. They've had a good season as well.
They did. They're a good side. And a couple of injuries kind of hit Drogheda at a bad period, but they were strong on Friday night, and they hit us. Yeah, they hit us on the bounce.
Okay, so you're loving life. Things are good. Everything's going well at Bowes, on and off the pitch. Obviously the European team, I was in at the matches, loved it, it was brilliant. Down at the Cup game a couple of weeks ago again, brilliant atmosphere. We'll get to other stuff that went on in the Cup as well. But before we get into the whole Bowes things, Georgie, I want to go back in time a little bit. And you probably made your name at UCD. I know obviously you're a Donegal lad and you had a little stint at Derry. But I suppose the whole UCD thing was where things kicked off for you. How did the UCD come about? Was that just part of the scholarship system and you were the education and then the football obviously part of that as well?
Yeah, at the time I was at Derry. At the time I was a youngster, I was 17 or 18, and I was always kind of set on going to college. I would never even cross my mind that you could play with Derry, you could play full time with Derry.
Okay.
So I was always set just going to UCD, done the leaving cert and applied.
Were you good at school when you were young?
I was all right. I was just bang, middle of the road. I got it scraped into UCD, and just a couple of weeks before I was heading down the road, Peter Hutton at the time at Derry pulled me in and offered me a pro deal at Derry, which I didn't even expect at all at the time. So then I was like, well, right, what do I do here? For some reason, I just had it in my head, I'll go to college. It wasn't, football wasn't even at the forefront. And at that stage, I had nothing sorted. I had no scholarship. I was going in blank, to UCD.
Okay.
And I was up there a few weeks, I think, before Jimmer McNally or anyone kind of knew I was there.
So you went to UCD purely for the education? The football wasn't part of it? I just presumed it was the football scholarship.
No, and then it was actually Declan McIntyre. I don't know if you know Declan.
Yeah, I know Declan
At Derry, I was actually leaving the car park, and he went over, wished me good luck, and I said, I'm heading down to UCD, and he said, I have a few contacts down there, I'll give him a ring. And that's how I think Jeremy then got in touch with me a few weeks later, and whatever, got it sorted out, and I got a scholarship sorted out kind of as soon as I was in after a couple of weeks. Just went from there then for 3-4 years.
That's unbelievable. And not many people would have known that, because I suppose the whole UCD connection, and I was there at UCD, that's where I started off as well. Everybody presumes if you're there, it's kind of part of the scholarship scheme and system, because it's been so successful for them over the years as well. Yeah. But you were just purely education.
That's why I was going there, yeah, because there was a course, I've done commerce at UCD, and that was always my top of my list course that I wanted to do. And it just kind of coincided with that they're the good soccer setup and everything there as well, so yeah.
So once Jeremy got you involved then, they obviously realised we've a player on our hands here as well.
I got it was only a couple of weeks and they offered me a whatever scholarship and whatever, so it was great.
Okay, and did you finish out the commerce course? And
I did, yeah. Finished 3 years at UCD, yeah.
Brilliant. Before, yeah. It's interesting even that alone, Georgie, and I suppose where we're at, and especially the club you're at the moment, in terms of there's the debates constantly around the full-time setups and the part-time setups and the best model, the best structure, especially for young lads. Like, you're only 24 now. But it's interesting you say all it was in your mind at the time was education. You have that behind you, and now you can enjoy your football type thing.
Yeah, I'm actually doing a master's at the minute, so
okay,
I'm still in that education system. Yeah, so, and that's kind of what, to be honest, that was a part of the reason that attracted, a little bit of the reason that attracted me to Bose was they're trained at nights, and I can, you know, work away at school during the days.
Okay.
And get that done, you know what I mean? So it was a perfect fit, really, in that sense. You're in Dublin as well, you know, so...
Okay, so when you... So even the time... And I don't want to jump ahead, because I do want to spend the little bit of time on the UCD thing, but... So when you went to Dundalk then, did you carry on, obviously, your education as well?
No, I took... Okay. Yeah, I graduated that undergraduate in commerce, and I just said, right, I'll have a couple of years now, I'll have a go at it.
Okay. So you had that cushion behind you as such that you were able to concentrate on the football full-time.
Yeah.
And so... Here we are now, you're doing a master's now at Bose as well.
I always kind of had in the back of my mind that at some stage I wanted to do a master's while I was playing, because it's a good fit, like, rather than, you know, most people are working, people want to do master's, you could be working and trying to balance both.
Yeah.
But when you're training, you know, you have loads of time in your hands, and it's perfect situation.
Oh, and I'd highly recommend, and it's the reason I'm asking so much about that is because, say, a lot of people would listen, and if they have kids or students or whatever, relations, and... It's a constant debate, because we always argue that there's no industry here as such for the whole full-time setup with lads, and hopefully down the line it'll come a day that we do have. But right now, if you're a young lad starting off, like, your education is so important as well, and especially for the national leagues now that they're setting up with lads, and a lot of them, I know the clubs are coinciding with some colleges and courses and offering that to PFEI as well, but it is highly important, like.
Massive, and with a lot of young lads now probably staying on them extra few years, with Brexit and all them complications, it's definitely an avenue that players will be looking at. Like, you know, do the leaving cert, and then if I kind of slip in and do a couple 3 years and get my degree, and then go at 21, you know, so it's definitely a route that a lot of players probably take now in the next few years.
Okay, so the UCD thing, George, as said, that's where you started, obviously, you make your aim and you were banging in goals. Was Colly the manager at the time?
Collie was the manager at the time.
Yeah, and Collie was great, because he had a lot of good, talented young players in that group, didn't he?
Serious. And there's a serious turnover every year, but there's serious talent there on that when I arrived. Yeah, it was great.
Because there's another kind of debate or argument I often get dragged into in terms of where the UCD sit in the league, and they would have their detractors because of maybe what they don't bring off the pitch in terms of fans or infrastructure, but in terms of what they bring on the pitch,
there's no debate now.
There is no debate. No. It's phenomenal. And, like, as I always say to people, if you go through the UCD teams over the years, even going back to when I was there, the amount of lads that have come through, and your mate Ronan Finn and all of them, the amount of lads that have come through all through the years, and even right up to the stage where you were there only a few years ago, and top quality as well. I'm not talking about like just run of the mill players. Top quality.
They don't make up the numbers. You know, a lot of UCD players go to the top teams in the league. And as you see, you can go back nearly a decade now and go through the players that they've produced. Unbelievable. Like.
So were you always a centre forward as a young lad at Derry, you know?
Yeah, I was always centre forward, yeah.
Okay, and that was where you always wanted to play?
Yeah, that was what kind of suited to me, yeah.
And when the whole UCD thing, obviously you start playing regular games and start scoring goals, how much did your game come on? Like, if you're looking back now, I know you're still only very young, but in terms of where you might have been a raw teenager at Derry or whatever, and then you're still developing at UCD, like, how much did things start to develop for you once you started playing regular football?
Yeah, massively. I would have been a lot more raw. And Collie, Collie's philosophy obviously was, no matter who we're playing against, we'll play it. We're playing out, and we'll keep the ball,
which is brilliant,
and probably not wouldn't have been my forte,
Yeah.
But so I learned a lot there, like, and had to just adapt, and and go and learn. Like, and I did. I improved a lot there. I think even just little movements and how to get on the ball and drop in little whatever, you know. Collie was a huge influence then on my career.
Yeah, and Collie did so well. It's a pity, obviously, he's not involved now. I know he's good friends with Chewy as well. But he did so well at UCD because that was around the time the European stuff as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I came in a couple of months after that. They beat Doodle Lounge and stuff, yeah. Didn't they?
Dylan Watts and all. There was top quality players.
Great side, yeah.
So the whole thing, once you start making a name then for yourself, Georgie, and especially in the way the structures of our league, that the Division 1 and the Premier Division, everybody knows everyone and the talk starts, and are you becoming aware then of rumours and clubs and teams interested and clubs interested?
It's not really until the later stage of the degree, so say the third year, end of the second year, third year.
Okay.
When teams, because teams know kind of that you're finishing, you're more likely to finish out your degree rather than jump ship before you finish, you know, because and then come back.
And
to
you
it.
Weren't budging until the degree.
I wasn't really budging. I think people knew that, you know, Like I was planning to stick around, but then near the end of it, then you start to you know, hear different rumours and stuff, yeah, and have options.
And of course, then the big team was Dundalk, and obviously Stephen's in charge, and they're doing great things in Europe, great things domestically. They have a brilliant team, brilliant squad, finances, everything. Was there ever a debate about anywhere where you were going, or it was always Dundalk?
No, it was always kind of Dundalk. Once Stephen kind of got in touch, I had a little bit of a history with Stephen. Stephen's kids would have went to my school at home in Donegal. He lived right beside me at home. So I kind of knew of Stephen throughout the years since I was a kid. I always spoke to him at different events, different things, you know, growing up. So then once Stephen got in touch and everything that was going on there, yeah, I was never gonna turn that down, no.
And just to move away from that slightly, Stephen at the moment and the Irish thing, would you be 100% behind him, obviously, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Even though I have probably a bit of bias there, but yeah.
And I'm 100% behind him as well. I know, and look, I've argued it out last week, obviously. And yeah. You have to stick with what he's doing. Like, it's where he's coming from, and I think what people have to remember, particularly the Serbia game last week, like, we've no entitlement to be beating anybody, never mind Serbia or Portugal. We're not entitled to beat Luxembourg and Azerbaijan, and people just think we rock up and beat these teams. But where Stephen's coming off the back of where he picked the whole thing up from and trying to integrate new lads and young lads, and you have to look at where those lads are playing their trade at the moment and they're only starting off their careers, like, you have to give them a chance and give Stephen a chance.
Yeah, it comes down to what the FAI's goal, what's the end goal, like, you know, is the end goal to make the Euros in 2 years time or the World Cup? Like, if that's the case, then it all comes down to what the end goal is. Like, and on your day, yeah, you can sit in and get 11 men behind the ball and beat Sweden or beat Italy 1-0 and then it's all great, but then you're not developing anything. No. There's no chance ever real progression, you know what I mean?
It's just always so short-sighted. If that's
short-termism,
the attitude,
yeah.
As you say, you try it. If that's the case and we get to a tournament, lads go over to France or wherever yours, get pissed for 2 weeks and the country goes mad, but we still come home after being knocked out in the group stages. What? Like, not worth a shite.
No.
Whereas Stephen is trying to build something substantial, something that's sustainable going forward for years and years of structure. Yep. And Stephen might not be the man to do it. I hope he is, and I'm right behind him. But I'd love to think even 2 years down the line, when he got his chance, and if he gets his chance to finish out and go on and do the Euros campaign, and then we'll make a judgment. Did it work out for him? Did it not? But at least if we've someone coming in after him with the same mindset and the same philosophies and the same... And I don't mean philosophies as in airy-fairy words, fella going out just playing nice football. I mean a philosophy as in with the same way of thinking in terms of the bigger picture. Yeah. Not a Sam Allardyce coming in for 18 months who doesn't give a shite and purely for self-interest. And we've been here for... Look, I'm going off on a tangent now, George. Sorry. Take me back to Stephen when you signed with Dundalk. So... what's the magic of Stephen?
You probably heard this from everyone. Asked players, ex-players that played under Stephen, what's the magic? He just makes you feel like, you know, you're $1 million. He makes you feel like you can do this, you can do that. His man management's great. Like, and then at the time, he didn't even have to sell it to me. You know, the club was, they were flying, the setup, everything was going on. I think that the owners, the Americans, were they in at the time? I'm not even 100% sure. But the place was hopping anyway, like, and they were coming off the back of a league win.
I don't think they were there when you signed initially.
Probably not. Yeah. I can't, my memory's horrible. But,
I hope you look back fondly on your time with Dundalk.
I do, surely.
I know you could, are you sure? Well, I suppose you could only look back fondly with the success that you were having. It must have been a brilliant time, especially you, a young player, big move for you at the time, going from UCD to Dundalk. But you were pulling your weight in terms of you were chipping in with goals, doing your bit, and then the success was phenomenal. Like,
yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, even just the group, you know, the group of lads that were there and the team that was built. And you say then the league, was it two league titles and one cup, and then we were in a cup final. It was great, a couple of years. Great, yeah. I have no regrets at all about that now. As you say, I did chip in with a few goals. I know probably didn't play as probably as much as I would have liked, but you know, I was still content, yeah, and doing a job there.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, would you have had many conversations? I know Patrick was there at the time, and you were kind of vying, and competition is good, and especially the better the clubs you're at, of course, there's going to be competition. Would you have had many conversations with Stephen around the fact that, were you a frustrated young man that wanted to play more, or were you kind of happy with your role where you're at and coming on and changing games or making an impact in games?
Listen, you have to be realistic as well. You can't, you know, at the time, Pat coming off the back of scoring something like 28 goals, you know, I'm not going to go and start knocking on the door saying I need to do this, because I knew I was at miles to go. Like, I was nowhere near probably where I needed to be, you know what I mean? So now there wasn't a load of that. Maybe towards the end a little bit more as I was developing a bit more, but no, there wasn't a load of that earlier on. No, I was just kind of biding my time and seeing what I could do and trying to make an impact when you'd come on. Like,
and when you say the group and the group of players, that's the one thing that I used to always praise them on, and the fact that they were such good lads. Like, obviously they were winning everything, but they were so likeable. Sean Gannon and Massey, Gartland, they were such good lads. Like, you want Shields, you wanted to see them do well. Like, we used to obviously cover the games and they'd be winning, and it was never a case of sometimes when a team is dominating they can be not liked, or you think
there can be a bit of resentful kindness around it.
Yeah,
but
and you want to say, oh no, we want someone new to win. We were loving the Dundalk thing. Like, it was unbelievable, it really was. And then what they were doing in Europe, and to be fair to Cork, I have to give them their dues. They were putting it up to you, and it built up a little bit of a rivalry, and it was great for us tuning in and all that kind of stuff as well. But just how much, because we used to often hear, Georgie, it was very player-led, and the environment and Stephen O'Donnell or the senior players at the time there, was it very much like that?
It was player-led, but you kind of have to give credit as well to, say, Stephen and to Vinny, because, you know, part of the process when you're recruiting players is you recruit based on character, you know, and that comes into it as well, and then that allows that environment to grow then within the club, you know what I mean? So
yeah, but it's interesting you see you do that, and that's the right way of doing recruitment, but not everyone does that. That's the fucking problem.
Yeah, well, it's easy not, you know, you get kind of carried away with,
because I think that was the thing, I suppose, with Dundalk. It was their characters they were signing, not just the best player.
Yeah, exactly, and that it stood to them then, you know, and you know.
So it was easy to manage the dressing room when you have such good lads.
A little bit, yeah, but you can say that, you know, the team kind of manages themselves, but you have to put that team together and put that group together and find out which fits and what you can tweak. You know, it's not straightforward. Like,
you mentioned here, so was it your second year then when Pat was having a bit of a rough time of it, and you went out? I remember doing a game up there. It always sticks out in my mind because I always had a soft spot for you as well, not just the little man. And you were doing so well, and I remember going to games thinking, like, I was watching your progression and your development, and you were getting bigger and stronger, and I'm saying to myself, like, this boy's ready, like, you need to let him off the leash now. And obviously Hooboom was playing still, but he was going through a patch where he wasn't scoring. And I think you would come on in six or seven games, and I remember you nearly scored in them all, I think. And we did a game up there one night. It was towards the end of the season, but it always sticks out in my mind. I remember saying to Peter, asked me a question and saying, like, if I was Georgie Kelly now, I would be beaten down the door because he's ready to play and he should be. And if I was Pat Hooban, I'd be shit myself because Georgie is about to overtake him. And then you left.
Yeah, I left, yeah.
So I don't know, did you go in and batter down the door, or...
I would have had my conversations, but again, there's only so much you can say.
Vinny was in charge now.
Vinny was in charge, and you know, the thing about it is, from the outside looking in, it's hard to see. But Pat brought more than goals as well, you know, to the team. Pat was a big central figure in the group, like, and that was as much, that had as much value kind of at the time as goals. There was more to it, you know what I mean?
It wasn't just him scoring.
No, Pat was a leader. Pat was a leader as well in that side. So it was complicated. Like, it wasn't just, oh, I need to play, and it wasn't just it's hard to explain the whole, you know, it's complex. But
at that stage, as you said, the first year you were kind of just progressing, but that year in particular where you were coming on scoring, I think it was six or seven on the bounce, you scored a lot, and it was coming on and scoring. And I'm saying to myself, this lad's ready. Like, so were you cutting a frustrated figure at that stage?
A little bit, yeah. I definitely was. There was a few months there, and in the middle of that season, I think at the start of that year as well, I had kind of pushed to maybe try to get out on loan.
Okay.
But then it obviously didn't happen, and I was kind of told that I would get my chance. So then at the end up when I wasn't kind of getting enough minutes and wasn't getting, I wasn't playing regularly enough, then that's when I decided to push out. Then I had with the Pats then. Yeah.
Okay.
That summer.
And the Pats thing then, I suppose, Georgie, when Pat signed, I thought again, I'm going back to, this is Georgie ready to go. He's out now. He'll be playing every week. So it was a huge signing. I'm sure you were excited about it, but it's a huge signing for them. And obviously, I suppose Stephen's influence, that was why you went there, Stephen O'Donnell.
Yeah, I was probably the main. I was good friends with Robin, and I knew a few of the lads at Pats at the time. So yeah, but Stevie was a big attraction there, yeah.
So what happened?
I don't know. First of all, I didn't think, I know fans would tell you different, but I didn't think it was a total disaster. I thought in the game, for most of the game anyway, I was affecting games. I think I even ended up as their top goal scorer. I'm not on, you know. So
3 goals.
With 3 goals.
I'm joking. You know. You can say that now because you're say that 14 now. At yeah. the moment.
But the main issue, you know, it was me. It was fitness. And I was really struggling in games. Lactic acid. And Mark Keneally then at Pats, he helped me in that off season with it, to be fair to him. But I was really struggling. After 20 or 30 minutes in games, it was like I was playing in sand. I was pulling really. I couldn't run, I couldn't get up to high speeds. But then in training and fitness tests and things, I was flying. So it was a strange
it was just games,
And so in 2 years at Dundalk I hadn't played 90 minutes back to back, like in two and a half years.
Wow.
So when that came to it then, yeah, I was, as you said too, I was ready to go. I was thinking, right, this is me, this is perfect, I should play here. You know, it was a good fit.
Yeah, great, because as you say, Robbie was there, Stephen, after taking over. And when they signed you, I remember sitting here with the lads saying, it's a fucking great signing, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I was the same, and it was just frustrating then, yeah. And the main, listen, I probably should have chipped him a few more goals, but the main thing, one of the main reasons I put it down, I'm not making excuses, because
this is good for people to know, because these are the factors.
Yeah, no, but I was definitely struggling after even at half time. I'm saying, what's going on,
I knew as well from watching you and the games, and because I'd seen you progress through the years, and I'm saying to myself, like, there's no way, there must be factors to it. There's reasons as to why it's not happening. And look, that happens. You move to a club and it doesn't happen, whatever the case may be. But this stuff that you're saying in terms of, even that alone, like, that's totally understandable. You hadn't played a full game in back-to-back 90 minutes in 2 years.
But even from slogging through games and you know, whatever, pulling myself, doing as best I could, I kind of felt coming up against or playing nearly most teams in the league, that once I got myself sorted, I should be good enough to play at this level. You know what I mean? That's one thing I got from there, was that even though performances wasn't right, I got a sense that, right, if I get myself right here, I should be good enough to play here. You know what I mean? There was that little bit of...
Really? Was
yeah, there was a little bit of confidence. There always is. But come the end of the season then, I felt like, right now, if I can get myself right now...
But even off the back of what you had done, fair enough, it's the first division with UCD, then you go to Dundalk, and even though you're not playing regularly, but you're still contributing heavily, you go to Pats. So is there's doubt? Thinking,
oh, there's doubt that whether you can score. Yeah, can I be number 9 here in this league for a good side? Yeah. Oh, there is, obviously. Yeah.
Even that alone might have added to the pressure. Why, to think you might have been putting too much pressure on yourself?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
And in terms of your relationship then with Stephen, obviously you said would have been a teammate. Hmm. He would have been the reason you probably signed Robbie and all. Is that relationship strained in any way, or is things still okay?
No, not at all, Stephen. Yeah, I mean, Stephen got on the best, yeah.
He's a great lad, Stephen.
Great lad, Stephen, yeah.
But that's good to hear as well, because, as I said, it's the reasons behind it. Like, people are so quick to judge. You go to a match, fella not playing well, or he must be rubbish or whatever, you know, without thinking of other things. Even the fact there, like, going back to Stephen's thing, like, people are quick to judge Stephen Kenny, right? But he's bringing lads in for a 3-game window, 3 games in 6 days, and lads are not even playing at their club, and he's expected to.
I think that's the biggest factor.
You know what I mean?
Your best players aren't playing regularly, like Adam Ida, Connolly. You know.
So we had three playing. We had Parrott, Ida, and Connolly in that game against Azerbaijan, Luxembourg, whatever, or Portugal, relying on these lads to get you the goals. They're only starting off in their career, but they're not even playing at their clubs.
No.
And then he's expected to wave a magic wand when they come in. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. People need to look at the factors involved before they make a judgment on things. And I would say the same, hopefully, same Pats fans listening, whatever. Because then you go to Bowes. I know Keith Long very well and got on great with Keith and worked with him and have a lot of time for him. I've gotten to know Trevor, brilliant coach as well, really good fella. And when you sign with them again, I'm still, I hadn't written you off, George.
I trust you, I believe you.
No, because I'm thinking, here you go, this is a really good environment for him as well. And things have gone unbelievably well.
Yeah, it's easy to say now, you know, looking back, because things have had a decent off season so far, that that was an easy decision. But it's very hard to know, you know what I mean? I was going to start a season not even knowing if I'd be a regular number nine here, never mind, you know, scoring goals.
So is there other clubs involved as well?
I would have had a couple of options, yeah, with a couple of options. But
what swayed you towards?
A little bit of it was being based in Dublin for the Masters. The most part of it then, there's loads of Dublin clubs. The most part of it was Keith and
Trev. Did
you
start your Masters at Pats? No, you were still full time at Pats.
No, I was still full time at Pats. Yeah.
So even though the season finishing up at Pats, you had it in your head, I'm doing the Masters whatever club I'm going to next year.
Yeah, I was always planning to do the Masters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Bose thing helped out in that regard.
Bose kind of helped out a little bit, yeah. But other than that, then it was just the style of play and the attitude, the Bose and the club in general is a huge attraction. You know.
Massive club.
And until I signed, I didn't realise the size of the fan base.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. The amount that people have reached out saying they're Bose fans. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it, yeah.
No, as you see, I have a soft spot for Bose. And it's funny because I've no affiliation, no connection. It's mad. Like, I'm sitting at home wondering, like, what is this all about? Like, and I go down there most Friday nights and I just love the connection that they have and with the fans, the stuff they've done off the pitch. As you see, I like Keith and get on well with him, want to see him do well. The fact that he's had to start from scratch every season, lose his best players, and he still produces. I think he's done a phenomenal job.
It's the honesty, isn't it? It's the honesty that is portrayed through the teams. You know, the Keith Bills, like that. It's attractive.
And,
like.
And that was it. When I used to go down when Detzer played, and I'm great friends with Detzer, and I used to love everything about them, and Detzer had run through that wall for you and all. Yeah. And win, lose, or draw, they were going out giving everything they had, and there was that unity and spirit with them. And this is going back to when Supple was in goals. This is when it started for me, looking at them and really liking them. And it was such a pity. I remember going in before, there was a game, an end of season game against Dundalk, it was actually. Dundalk were going on to play in the cup final, and I walked out, Bose beat them. And I'm walking out of the ground thinking, this Bose team is ready to challenge next year, like the serious team. And the spine of the team was ripped, Supple finished. The centre half was gone, midfield got. And I'm saying to myself, they have to start from scratch again. But the team he's churned out this year, I would argue, was nearly his best team so far.
Every year they do it. Like,
it's phenomenal.
Every year, yeah. It's great.
So to be part of all that, Georgie, and the team at the moment, go right back, I suppose, to the start of the season when you signed and pre-season, did you get a sense or a feeling, I like what's happening here, even though you knew signing, you were hoping things, but once you started to get involved, were you thinking, this could be very promising?
Yeah, there's always unknowns, you know, when you come in at the start of the season and with a load of new, maybe seven or eight, maybe more new signings, you're thinking, well, what kind of group is this going to be? And, you know, how's what's the character of these lads? But now, from day dot, it was lads were at it and there was that kind of click there. So it's, it was looking positive from the start of the season, yeah. Even though we probably, with the results for the first nine games, you probably wouldn't have noticed. But
was there any self-doubt then?
Not really. I don't know I kept getting interviewed and things after games. And I always was always kind of saying that, you know, like, we'll click because there is something there, and you could see it even in training and everything. Even in performances in them games, we're doing well. We're just conceding sloppy goals, or it was lacks of concentration.
Trying to say it here, we were chatting about it every week, and I said to Stewie, I says, because I was going to a lot of the games, and I said, I'm telling you, they're not far off. People are probably saying, what is he on about? Like, they're getting better every week. And I'm saying to myself, I'm telling you, lads, like, they're not far off here. So thankfully, you've proved me right. But I always felt, even looking, there's the makings of, and whatever it was, that it's just a pity now you look at the league table and had the start gone well.
Yeah, you know, we'd be closer, but I suppose that's what can you count?
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I'm just hoping now with the team that you have and the stuff you did in Europe, everyone stays and you can obviously build on that for next year, because I think Keith deserves that. I was chatting to he's the president down there now, John O'Connor, the last
John,
day,
yeah,
and John's a good fella, and I was chatting to him at the match, the cup game, and I said it to him, I said, John, surely to God now you'll back Keith in terms of keeping the lads, and I know they run a very prudent ship and they're correct to do so. We had Daniel in as well, and Daniel speaks very well about the club and what they're trying to do and live within their means and their resource and all that. But I think the fact that the European stuff now has backed up the need to back Keith and keep that, because I says to John, I says, if you keep this team together, they have a chance to win the league. Like.
Yeah, and I think that everyone at the club knows that now. Like, and that's kind of that last kind of hurdle now. They've been producing players and they've been performing, but the teams, as you said, team breaks up every year. So that's the last hurdle now, and they could have a real good go at it if you keep your squad together and then add a few. Like, you could, you might be far off. Like.
Okay, I'm going to go through a few little things around Bose that I want answers on, Georgie. So, Keith Long, you had Stephen, you had Stephen O'Donnell, and now Keith Long. So in terms of similarities or differences,
they're all different. Yeah. Differences. Everyone's unique. All the managers I've worked under has been unique. Keith's brilliant. Yeah, you know what? You know him yourself.
Well,
But Keith's great. Just energy and you know, as we talked to Ken about, you know, that aura that you can get off watching the team, that stems from Keith. Like, you know, that kind of attitude of what this club, what the club's about, and what he wants from his players.
Delves into all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, that stems from Keith. Yeah, that kind of identity that comes from being a Bulls player. Like,
that's the word, identity. Yeah, because they do have that. Like, you know,
yeah, you can see that. Like,
and that's the feeling I get when I'm down there watching them. You know, like, it's these lads are not playing for a club; they're playing for a jersey. Like, what it means.
Yeah, and Keith, he instilled.
And it's not easy to get that across.
It's not easy to instill that in players, especially new players coming in. Mm. But he's done it. He done it, like, and from day dot, that's it. Kind of unites everyone into one kind of core group, like, you know what I mean.
And the fans and everyone included. Because that's the thing that fascinates me. I'm down at the match, and as a neutral, I'm sitting there in whatever game it is, and obviously two sets of teams. And even though I love watching Bulls, whoever wins. But I'm sitting up there and I'm saying, well, like, what is this? What, there's something going on here. And it stood out, the Shamrock Rovers game in the Cup. I don't know, did you even see it? Because you were probably gone off.
I was gone off.
Yeah, but after, we'll come to that. But after that, Georgie, after that match, there was an unbelievable moment where the players, and I know it's a huge game, you're after beating your biggest rivals, it's a cup game, all that. And it was a great, even though I know you got sent off, but in terms of the goals, the action, everything, it was a brilliant game to be at. And there was a fella standing behind me, and we're all kind of standing on the steps, and the players are out to the fans, and the fans are singing down to the players, and it was a great moment. And there's this fella, and he comes down to me, and he says to me, he says, I'm coming here 40 years and I've never seen anything like this. And I'm looking at him saying, really? And he says, yeah, he says, I've been here when they've won leagues, won cups, and he says, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, it creates that little unity. Like,
it's a
hell
of a statement to make.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. But you need to want to win the cup now.
I know. Yeah, we need silver. You need something to back it all up now is the one.
So the other thing then, that's longer. Keith Buckley.
Yeah.
Keith Buckley doesn't get the credit. Never gets the credit. Now he goes about his business. I've private messaged him. I won't tell you what has been said. I wouldn't divulge that stuff.
No.
He's a great lad. But he sets the tone really for everything. And he's one of these unsung heroes. But every team needs a Keith Buckley, but there's not enough Keith Buckleys around.
No, they don't. He doesn't get the recognition he deserves. He'll probably go down as probably the best player I've ever played with. I couldn't pick Keith.
So if you were going through your UCD days,
for
Dundalk,
for what he brings to sit, and how valuable he is to a team, I think he'll be irreplaceable. Like when you lose him, and people don't see it. Like people just from the outside don't see it every single year. Like. Because if you take him out of our team, and there's been a couple of times this year, then you can notice like the ground he covers and the work he does.
The European games, he was brilliant.
Yeah,
so good he was. And like that, it was great to see him do that on that stage, because he doesn't get the credit. And then the Shamrock Rovers game, the cup game, he was outstanding in that game as well.
Yeah, unbelievable. Let's see, people are attracted to, you know,
a goal scorer or
flair, or you know, them nice tactical players.
But he's very good on the ball as well.
He's improved massively the last 2-3 years. He's added that to his game. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow.
I couldn't speak. Unbelievable.
So he's the best player you've played with up to now.
For me, if you want to go look at the best, for me all round, you can talk technically and nice touches and finishes.
But
what Keith brings, very hard to find. There are not many of them. Like.
Okay. So then there's three young lads who I think are going to be stars.
Yeah.
Andy Lyons, who I think is a brilliant player, and the goal he got, obviously. But I'm mad about Dawson Devoy. Mad about him. And then you have Ross, who again looks like, it's hard to tell with Ross because there's never seems to be a word out of him. He goes out and runs himself into the ground. I covered a 21s game last week, and he's running here, there and everywhere. I'm in the Aviva, he's running, even for a great foil for you off you, making great runs. And the amount of free kicks, I've never seen a player to win as many free kicks in all my life, in positions where you're defending in your own half, he gets the ball, he runs 40 yards up the pitch and then just keels over.
Uses his body.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I've never seen a player that has won as many free kicks in all my life. So these three, how good are these boys?
Yeah, I don't want to hype them up too much.
I know, Keith and Gomar,
but yeah, they're serious talent.
Well, everyone can see how good they are.
And that's just down to the, as I was saying, they've come through that process now where from kids playing for that under-19s at Bowes and transitioned to the senior team. And it's invaluable to them, like, as players. In comparison to, say, if they went over, a few of them went over, say, the three lads have been over in England.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, you could not put it down, or you could not note how important that'll be for their development, like, yeah, as kids playing big games.
Incredible. Unbelievable. Big, proper games. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Won't get much bigger than the games they played in the summer in the Aviva, and even the games against Shamrock Rovers, in terms of atmosphere and hostility and challenge.
Like,
and
no matter where they go in their careers, they'll, it'll stand to them, you know what I mean? Them playing in them big games for, you know, important games for a great club, like, so. Yeah, so no, three great players.
I know they have a great chance, and they will go on and have great careers. You're just hoping to stay around for another couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the fans are hoping. Eric Lord messaged me and says, tell Georgie we love him and he better sign a new contract. So I think they all want you to stay. Yeah. But tell me this, Georgie, the Shamrock Rovers thing, right? So did you realise how big of a rivalry it was before you signed?
No. Yeah, I think it's very hard to comprehend it from the outside until you're in it. Like, the first Derby game, I think, was away to them. But even the build up that week, it's like everyone's a little bit on edge, kind of, and
you
can sense it's not an ordinary opponent. Like, but yeah, they're huge games. Yeah, massive.
Because even for me, I've remarked to a couple of lads, since Keith started, I suppose, challenging as such, or being up in the top three and competing with Shamrock Rovers as such, so that the games are basically 50-50. And I know Bowes had that great run where I think they won 7 or 8 games against them, and then Rovers turned it around and whatever. But since then, and the games that we've covered and seen, and obviously I've gone to them all, if we could only market the league on those games, and I don't mean just in terms of the match, the atmosphere, the crowd, both sets of fans, both sets of supporters, whether it's in Tala, whether it's in both, them games have been absolutely phenomenal. So they have over the last three years. To play in them, like, what's it like to play in it?
Unbelievable, yeah. And they're no matter what the sides, or no matter what team you put out, them games are always like a coin flip. Like, you can't, you know, there's no predicting who's going to win them games, because the tension and the fans and the atmosphere that's built around it, like. But just the occasions, they're unbelievable, yeah.
And the one a couple of weeks ago, so there's a bit of needle, I never seen you react like that before.
No, either have I. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Heat of the moment stuff, yeah. I don't know if I was stressed or whatever going into it, I don't know. But yeah, it's not like me at all, and I was fuming with myself.
Stephen O'Donnell was sitting behind me, right? So, and he's sitting there around the match, Stephen was over at the match, and I'm sitting there, and when the incident happened, and we were down that end where it happened in that penalty box, and I turned to Stephen and I says something must have really irritated him for him to react like that, because from what I know, he's the nice lad. And Stevie said, I've never seen George react like that, he's so quiet, like, he's such a good lad.
Yeah, no, because I know just before I didn't see Finner, and he went and he hit me. And
was there stuff building up to it?
No, there wasn't. That was out of the blue. Like, and what happened was that he probably didn't realise, but that kind of hurt. He just caught me just under the neck and winded me. So I was fuming. Like, and
did he totally blindside you on that?
And I didn't see him, so that made it worse. Like, if I hadn't seen it coming, I wouldn't have minded that little barge. But he caught me and it winded me. Like, took a wind, and so I was kind of a little bit fuming.
You would have played with Ronan as well.
No, that was before. No, I don't know Ronan now. Nothing against Ronan.
No,
you know, I shouldn't.
A good lad.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have reacted then like that. But I was just, I just kind of lost the head. I don't know if it was the Derby. I don't know what it was, because I couldn't believe it sitting in the changing room after. I was like, what am I doing? Like, it's great. And Keith came in, gave me a big hug after. You know, whatever. It's all great and last because we won. But like, it could have cost us. If it hadn't, you know, it could have cost us the game.
Because you were so on top at that stage.
Yeah, because Rossi hit the crossbar too. Yeah. If I had a score, that wouldn't happen probably. But
because that second half performance was so good. But then obviously, as you said, the sending off, and the game becomes a bit kind of 50-50 again. But thankfully, Andy came up with the goods.
Thank God, for my sake anyway, thank God.
Yeah, so the cup obviously is Friday night, George. You're suspended this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you missed out. Not a bad one to miss out, really, but you can't be disrespectful to Minute at all, and I'm sure you're treating the game exactly as if you're going out to play Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, they will be. It's one of the biggest games of the year, like, because this is the Cup's massive, vital for us now, like, this season.
That's the one thing, I think, for all the praise we give Keith and the stuff he's done, and as I say, building the teams each year or whatever, I think, though, he needs to win a trophy now. He's at the stage where the team have done obviously so well in Europe, you've done so well. this is the year I think you need to deliver.
You know, you say it needs, that he needs to win a trophy. Like, I think...
I don't mean need as in as no, if like his job.
Yeah, no. But
I mean just to solidify all the great work that's been done.
What kind of happens then when you do be successful, like Keith, he's overachieved every single year.
Yeah, I agree.
And they obviously had a plan. The club would have a plan, maybe a 5-year plan to build slowly and slowly to get. And because we've overachieved, he's done so well the last 3 years and we've done well in Europe now. Everyone, the fans, everyone now, the trophy's the next one. Where, you know, it probably wasn't in, say, the people of the club, probably wasn't in their plans to be going trying to win leagues within 2-3 years. But
hold
that's what happens in the hype builds and
hold
then
on a minute now,
everyone then expects trophies.
I'm an honest man, right? Hold on a minute. I'm doing the punditry here. You just stick to the plane, right? You're at the stage now. We've praised you to the highest. With the teams that have left, you've just beaten Shamrock Rovers. You were unbelievable in Europe. You're great to watch. You're a match for anyone. You need to go on and win the cup now. I'm putting it out there. You don't have to answer. I'm just putting it out there for people to listen to and let people make up their own minds. But believe me, and I not say, I don't mean the word.
No.
I'm not honing in on need as in needs. If he didn't win it, it'd be a disaster. I mean, it's just at the point where they've done so well. You have a great team. All that stuff. I just think now is the time. This could be your time to win.
Yeah, it would be great. It'd be even a day out in Aviva. Hopefully by then the Aviva could be filled. Whatever, you know, 40,000 or 50,000.
Yeah, because so. I've covered luckily enough the last 4 or 5 finals, and it's an unbelievable. I love the FA Cup anyway, but the whole day and it's our showpiece match. Like
the week building up there, even it's great. Yeah.
So you have 14 league goals. Is it 24 matches we played? So.
Around that, yeah, I'm not even sure. Yeah.
Okay. Are you one for setting targets at the start of the year and stuff?
No. I don't. Yeah, I don't set any targets now.
And even though the season has gone really well and you're on 14, are you one now thinking I'd hit 20 or are you just go about your business?
No, you go about it because you don't really. I could get injured next week, and so there's no setting targets. There's just going out and try to perform. Yeah, that's it.
You seem obviously you're a very well educated lad, and you seem very relaxed kind of a fella, but. How much does the education and doing the Masters help to actually just take you away from football so that's not consuming you 24 hours a day?
Yeah, it's massive, yeah. That's part of the reason too. You know, sitting in the house at Dundalk, you find yourself getting bored and doing nothing like sitting in the gaff.
I used to find, when I was full-time at Shells and you weren't playing and you're going home and you're questioning all day long and you're fucking thinking about it. Like, that's
overthinking,
not
you're overthinking and stressing and but no, that's definitely a factor on why I wanted to do it. And as I say, it's a perfect fit to combine a Masters, and it's out in Smurfit, so it's handy for me as well. Like,
and you're living out in
Dunboyne. I'm living in Dunboyne at the minute.
With the two Scottish lads,
the two boys, and Stephen Mallon as well.
Okay,
he's in the house. Yeah,
good lads, lively house.
Great lads, yeah, great house as well. Okay. Yeah,
who cooks?
We actually all take turns.
Okay,
so a night each. Yeah, Liam. You know, we had to get Liam up to speed at the start. He was microwave kind of job at the start, but we got him up to speed and he's flying now. Like,
okay. So a night each.
A night each, which is great. Like, you don't have to cook. Yeah, everyone just goes and does.
And in terms of the shopping, would you all chip in and do it together? Or?
No, someone whoever's dead is, they would just go and do the shop and they cook that night. Yeah. So it's a good setup. Yeah.
It sounds like a job because I used to live with Ollie Call and Dave Rogers.
Right.
And Ollie was the cook. Ollie was an unbelievable cook.
Right.
Irish stew. Ollie would produce some Irish stew. And he got me, I was the lame bird. He got me up to speed a little bit and I was able to do spaghetti bolognese and a couple of things, but it's good crack living in a house with, especially when you're young.
It is. It kind of knits you together as well, and everything's as a nice big unit, so it's great. Yeah.
And are the messers?
No, they're all nice, serious fellas. Yeah. No.
Ali Coote, some player.
They're all some players. Yeah. Ali's brilliant. Yeah. Ali's had a great season. So was Liam. Stevens had serious seriously unfortunate with injuries. Oh God.
Just when he came back there, he was injured the following week, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he'd done something with his quad then. Oh, seriously unfortunate, but serious player as well. And once we get him fit, could light up this league. He's just been unfortunate this year. Like.
It's brilliant as well, I suppose. Keep bringing in those lads from the outside, and that doesn't always work out. But those lads seem to have integrated right into the club, and that, like, as I say, I was so impressed. I know Liam did really well in the early part of the season, but particularly Ali, I felt he just got player of the month, didn't he?
Yeah.
But stuck out in those European games.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, and he's a great little relationship. I know on the other side as well, because Anto Breslin I'm very impressed with, but Liam and on that side and him, but Andy Lyons and Ali, especially in the European games, were really, really strong.
Yeah, it's as you say, form a great little partnership. Like Ali started off
little partnerships all over
all
the place.
Around. Yeah, yeah. With me and Ross,
you
there's
and Ross,
loads. Yeah, there's loads of them. But
even
that's
moving Dawson back with Bucko as well. Like, and I think Dawson. Look, I know I'm mad about him. I think he's gone on to another little level. being in the eight. Centre midfield,
yeah. Oh, it suits him much better. And it takes an eye to see that. Like, I wouldn't have seen that at the start. I would have seen Dawson as a 10 from coming in, and to put him in there and to let him thrive in there, yeah. Bring it, because he can carry it. Like, he can pick it up deep and drive into.
And he's really good at that.
Yeah. So it's
and setting attacks and all. So, Georgie, as I say, the game Thursday night, or Friday night, obviously, against Maynooth, and you'd fancy paths to go through against Wexford, UCD, your old club, Waterford. But Waterford have really picked up the last few weeks as well and turned things around. And Finn Harps, Dundalk, from your time at Dundalk, if someone said to you in 18 months' time they'd be on their arse, what would you have said?
I wouldn't have believed it like anyone else.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's sad. I feel so sad about it. I really do. I love the Dundalk story. I absolutely, those four or 5 years we were covering the games and they were so good, and the fans and everything about the whole story, Stephen in charge, it was amazing. I'm looking at it now and it's unacceptable what's gone on, to let it get to the point where it's at, and whoever's at fault, whether it be owners, people in charge, whatever the case may be, managers, players, everyone needs to take responsibility, whatever. I think there's loads of different factors, but for them all to allow it to get to this level is an absolute disgrace.
It's unfortunate. Like, if you let that, I don't know what it is, it's hurting that, but no one does, to put your finger on it, but you know, when you let that kind of negativity seep in, it just compounds then, and you know, it steamrolls on, and they end up where they are now. Listen, I still think they have the players to probably get out of it and get up the table, but it's just getting a kickstart.
An unbelievable squad, and I think the budget, it's the highest ever, I think, is it? Some people are saying and all, which I know it doesn't look good at the moment, but. But even like we spoke there, Bowes and the connection with the fans, Dundalk had all that, and all that's been sucked out of them, like, you know.
Yeah, it's been soured. I don't know who's to blame. I wouldn't blame the players for that. But yeah, and I'm not on the inside now, so I don't want to comment on what's going on there. But it's unfortunate because the fan base there is unbelievable as well in that town. You know, the buzz that's been created over the years.
Yeah, well, for us, even country boys that come from smaller towns, like, it's amazing what a football club, particularly mad soccer towns like Sligo's mad soccer, Dundalk the same. It's amazing the impact that, like, and we saw that throughout your successful years, just how behind the team the town was and the fans and what it meant to everybody. But I just look at it now and there's such a disconnect and it's so sad to see. Even the Cork City thing and all, and like how do they manage to do this?
Yeah, it's just incompetence.
And there's been loads of League of Ireland stories over the years like this,
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Yeah, as you say, this is not the first case of this happening. So,
but I think this will go down as the worst, because to think of where they were, how high they were achieving, and the money that was brought into the club for it to go where it's gone right now is just, I don't think it's I honestly think it's totally unacceptable.
Yeah, but I don't think they're dead. I don't think it's over. I don't think they're dead. Like, see, if they finish the season well,
no, they're not dead.
And turn things around. You don't know what happens next year if they change whatever behind the scenes and they come back. I wouldn't write them off just yet. Anyway,
would you not?
No, definitely.
Is that
not
Georgie, the former player, talking, or the pundit now?
No, I'll say no. No comment there.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, you can never write anything off or anyone, but my overriding emotion on is sadness with them, like, you know.
Yeah, it's disappointing, isn't it? Just from the outside.
And for us who want to push the league and promote the league, you want as many good teams in the league, as many good stories. Like Dundalk were challenging there and winning leagues and doing everything. And if you take one of them out,
it's massive for the league. It hurts the league, like, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's not only the knock on effect in terms of the Dundalk faithful, but for the whole league in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you imagine if they were up challenging this year, how tight it would be, that top five? Yeah, so.
And I had them down. I went to the President's Cup at the start of the year, and after watching that, I said they'll definitely challenge. They looked strong and good. But anyway. Okay, Georgie, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Say hello to young Harry.
Harry, how's things? How are you?
I know, that's brilliant, Jack. Listen, thanks very much. I appreciate you coming in. And as I say, you are having a brilliant season. I'm delighted to see it. The whole Bowes thing is great as well. You do need to go on and win the cup, but we leave that for another day. But no, listen, I hope I wish you every success and thanks a million for coming in.
Not at all. Cheers, Al.
And the people, I'm sure the Bohemians faithful will be delighted to hear from you as well. But that's all, folks, for episode 23. We are back from every week from now on. And as I say, we'll have more information on a live event that we're planning. And hopefully you can all come along as well. Georgie might even turn up for that one. But thanks a million to Benetti Menswear. Paul and Stewie are not with me this week, but I'll still say thanks to them. And we will talk to you next week. Thanks a million, folks.
Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.